Hey, sorry. Just wanted to get everybody's attention. Good morning. Welcome, members. I want to welcome Chair Pinto and the members from the House Children and Families Committee to the table. Today, we are going to have a hearing of the overview of a report from the Office of the Legislative Auditor regarding the oversight of state-funded grants to nonprofit organizations. We will then hear from the Minnesota Department of Education. As always, I expect our conversation to be robust but civil, and I will be handing the gavel over to Chair Pinto for the presentation, and I will chair during the Q&A. Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, maybe just a few remarks to set the stage here. So the report that we're going to hear from the Office of Legislative Auditor, and they do just terrific work, so we're really grateful to you for it, was prompted in some measure by an incident involving a federal grant program and for which our Department of Education identified that there were concerns, reported them, and made efforts to address that right away. And we really appreciate that work from the department. In the course of that, the Office of Legislative Auditor was asked, I forget if you were asked or if the initiative on your own, but in any case, I took a look then at a separate set of grant programs, which is we have, of course, a fair amount of state grants that pass through through several of our agencies. And so we really appreciate the work of the OLA in taking a look at how those state grants in a kind of separate area are administered and how that works. I'm excited to see that. We want to make sure that that grant management is working the way that it should. And so appreciate the overview there and looking forward to both the presentation and then the discussion. I think, Chair Joachim, you may have a couple of I guess we're just going to dive right into the presentation. So away we go. So with that, I think Judy Randall is going to be starting us off. Hello. And so please identify yourself. We're so grateful for your service and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Pinto, Chair Joachim, and members. I am Judy Randall. I'm the Legislative Auditor, and it's nice to see all of you here today. As Chair Pinto mentioned, the Legislative Audit Commission did direct our office to conduct this evaluation, looking at the oversight of state-funded grants to nonprofit organizations. As you all know, grants represent an important investment of state funds in Minnesota. These grant funds are used to support a variety of services, from early childhood learning to research and kind of every government function in between. In recent years, the state has spent more than $500 million annually on grants to nonprofit organizations in particular. It's a lot of money, and the state has an obligation to protect that investment. Over the past several years, the Office of the Legislative Auditor has conducted numerous audits and evaluations of how state agencies have managed grants. And across these audits and evaluations, we have consistently found that agencies have not complied with states' grants management policies. So the evaluation we're discussing here today goes a step further than those other audits and evaluations we've conducted. Yes, it examines the specific grant management practices at two state agencies, the Minnesota Department of Education and the Department of Public Safety, but we also go further. We take a broader look at what the state as a whole needs to do to improve its oversight of grants to nonprofit organizations, and we have a number of recommendations, not only for the Department of Education and the Department of Public Safety, but also for the Department of Administration's Office of Grants Management, and we have recommendations for you, for the legislature. Grants to nonprofit organizations are a significant investment by the state, and we think it is time for a statewide and a state-level response to improve grant oversight. We need to ensure that these funds are used effectively and for the purpose for which you intend them to be used. To get into the details of our findings and recommendations, I'm now going to turn to Ms. Jody Munson-Rodriguez. She is the Deputy Legislative Auditor for OLA's Program Evaluation Division, and she was also the manager for this evaluation. Again, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, thank you very much for holding this hearing. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much to our Legislative Auditor for your work. And so I'll turn things over to Thank you for your work. I should have been recorded there. And I'll turn things over to Jody Munson-Rodriguez to continue the presentation. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jody Munson-Rodriguez, and I'm with the OLA. Before I get started, I did want to acknowledge the other members of our evaluation team, and that is Scott Hoagie, Kelly Lair, and Jenna Hoagie, who are all here with me today. In this evaluation, we researched two main questions. One was, how comprehensive are the state's grants management policies? The other is, how well are state agencies complying with these policies? So I'm going to start with some high-level findings, and then I'll dig into the details of those a little bit. First, we found that Minnesota does have grants management policies that establish a number of important practices that are important for effective grants management. But many of these policies lack sufficient detail for state agencies and how they should be implemented. Second, OLA has found pervasive noncompliance with these policies. And one of the reasons we believe this is that statutes provide little authority to enforce state agencies' compliance with them. So as I said, I'm going to take a step back now, give a little bit of context for this, and then I'll give some more details around these findings and our recommendations. So on a very high level, as you probably all know, the legislature appropriates money to state agencies for state-funded grants. The agency is then responsible for distributing that money and for overseeing the grants. So, for example, the legislature awards funding to the Department of Public Safety for a youth intervention program. The DPS then gives funding, grant funding, to organizations such as Lutheran Social Services to provide services to youth. As another example, the legislature provides funding to the Department of Education for early learning scholarships. MDE then provides grant funding to organizations such as Think Small, who then passes on that funding to early learning institutions, childcare organizations in the form of scholarships to eligible families. Now, grants can be provided to a number of different organizations, but as we noted, we focused on nonprofit organizations in this report. One other thing I wanted to note is that there are numerous types of grants, and so we focused on three specific types of grants in this report. One of them is, and I apologize, I'm not seeing the letters on my presentation, and if you're not, I apologize. The first one is competitive grants. And for competitive grants, that's when the state agency defines the scope of work and the eligibility requirements for grantees, accepts applications, and then selects the grantees themselves. Then we also have single source, sole source grants, and that's when the state agency decides that there is only one certain organization that can provide the service or the good. We also have legislatively named grants, which is when the legislature names in law the grantee. So to give you an idea of the scope of these types of grants, state agencies spent an annual average of about $514 million each year on state-funded grants to all types of nonprofit organizations in fiscal years 2018 through 2022. With a high of $616 million in 2021.
Ms. Rodriguez, I might ask a clarifying question here. Are these through all agencies to all nonprofits, or are these specific to the two agencies that you focused on in the report?
Mr. Chair, thank you for the question. It is for all state agencies that provided state-funded grant.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Please continue.
Then focusing in a little bit on the organizations that received this grant funding, state agencies awarded grants to about 2,400 nonprofit organizations during this five-year period. The median amount over the five-year period was $68,000, and 75% of these organizations received less than $440,000. So the Department of Administration's Office of Grants Management, their OGM, is responsible for providing resources on 13 grants management policies that state agencies are required to follow. These policies cover the life cycle of the grant. So you see here there's some that have to do with pre-award, during the active grant phase, and closeout. Now, these policies provide broad information about the requirements that state agencies need to follow, but they also provide a lot of flexibility. And so, for example, OGM policies require state agencies to collect progress reports at least annually from grantees, but OGM does not dictate any minimum standards for the content or the format of those reports. The state agency would do that. And those policies are summarized in Appendix A of our report if you have the printed copy in front of you. So So moving on to our first research question, how comprehensive are Minnesota's policies? One way that we looked at this was by looking at recommended practices. So we looked at national organizations, different agencies, and we identified about 24 broad recommended practices in grants management. We then compared them to OGM's policies, and what we found is that OGM policies partly reflected 17 of the 24 recommended practices that we identified. But we also found that OGM's policies often lacked a lot of the specificity that these recommended practices had. And so I'm going to provide you with a few examples of what I mean by that. So for example, OGM policy requires state agencies to perform pre-award financial reviews for certain grants, for certain entities. But the policies do not require state agencies to then increase monitoring for any potential grantees for which they found any issues during those pre-award reviews. As another example, OGM policies require monitoring visits for certain grants, but those monitoring visits can be performed by telephone. They don't need to be performed on site. And as a third example, OGM policy requires state agencies to collect and review certain information at the close of a grant prior to awarding any subsequent grants to a grantee, but they don't have any timeline in which that type of information needs to be available for review. And I'll note that all of the items that we have on the right side of this table are recommended by different national organizations. So we do recommend that the OGM strengthen its grants management policies and provide more specific guidance to state agencies on them. We think this will better protect the state's grants investment. If you'd like to see some of our specific recommendations, they're on pages 35 and 36 of the report. For example, we do recommend that OGM require site visits. We think that there are some issues that can be best identified in person, seeing the space or the services. We also recommend that OGM require state agencies to document certain kind of red flag indicators, such as insufficient internal controls if they're performing a pre-award financial review, and then increase monitoring if these indicators are present. So now I'm going to move on to our second research question, which focused on state agency compliance. And as Chair Pinto and Ms. Randall was noting, we were requested by the Legislative Audit Commission to look at two specific agencies in this review. One was the Department of Education, the other was the Department of Public Safety. And so in order to do our review, we selected a sample of grants from each within MDE. It was a sample of 16 grants within their early learning and academic standards divisions. And for DPS, it was 23 grants within their Office of Justice programs. And all of the grants that we looked at were for fiscal years 20 and 21.
Ms. Munson-Rodriguez, this might be a good place just to note for members that the reason we're here together as a joint committee is because the Children and Families Committee has jurisdiction over that Early Learning Services Division, and the Education Finance Committee has jurisdiction over the Academic Standards Division. That's why we're all here, just to kind of orient us. So please continue. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So based on the review of these grants, we found that MDE had only partially complied with the OGM policies that we reviewed. Move on. So for example, the pre-award financial reviews that were required, MDE noted that they had completed a pre-award review for the majority of the grants in our review, but they didn't indicate that they had looked at any financial documentation in completing these reviews. So for example, an IRS Form 990 is something of that sort. And so it was unclear to us how they actually determined the financial stability of the grantees within our review. In addition, OGM has a policy that requires state agency to withhold payments to a grantee if they're past due in submitting progress reports. And we found that MDE had made at least $4 million in payments in violation of this policy to 12 separate grantees. We also found that MDE had not performed the majority of the required monitoring visits. They only conducted monitoring visits for one of the grantees within our review. Lastly, I'll note that OGM policy also requires state agencies to monitor legislatively named grants with the same level of oversight as competitive grants. But we found that NDE consistently provided less oversight to the legislatively named grants in our review. And so, for example, on this slide, you can see that while they did complete all of the required financial reconciliations for competitive grants, they did not complete any of them for the legislatively named grants. And similarly, although they did, some of the progress reports were turned in late, but they were turned in for all of the required, or for all of the competitively awarded grants. MDE was only able to collect 50% of the required progress reports for that, those legislatively named grants. So now I'm going to move on quickly through DPS.
If I can just pause you for a second, I think there's a clarifying question somebody
sure,
has.
Sure, absolutely,
I may be wrong
Mr.
about
Chair.
That. Oh, no, I guess not. Okay, sorry. Please, sorry about that. Please continue.
Okay. In terms of DPS compliance, we did find that DPS largely complied with the OGM policies that we reviewed. So, for example, you can see on this slide they completed all of the required closeout evaluations. They required nearly all of the monitoring visits, nearly all of the financial reviews. At the same time, we did find places in which we believe DPS should improve their compliance. Namely, there were a couple of grants in our review that were designated by DPS as being legislatively named, but those grants were not actually named in law. And so in that case, DPS should have completed a justification for awarding a sole source grant. In addition, DPS only completed about half of the financial reconciliations required, and they also made payments in violation of OGM policy to not make payments when there are past due progress reports. So I think kind of the obvious recommendation from us is that we recommend that both DPS and NDE ensure that all of the grant managers comply with OGM policies. We think that by doing this, they would be better able to recognize and resolve potential programmatic or financial issues as the grant is moving along. Now, as Ms. Randall noted, the types of things that we found in our review of DPS and NDE were very similar to things that OLA has found in recent years in other audits and evaluations. We've conducted 8 audits and 2 other program evaluations in the last 5 years in which we looked at agency compliance with OGM policies. And in each of those, we did find issues with compliance. In some cases, it was across agencies. In some cases, it was over and over within an agency. And so you can see here a number of things that we saw issues with: monitoring visits, closeout evaluations, pre-award financial reviews, all the kinds of things that we were seeing in this evaluation as well. And we have more details on the rest of those reports and the findings and recommendations in them in Appendix C of our report if you want more information about that.
And I think we do have a clarifying question, Representative Pryor. To confirm, if folks have questions of the kind that I've been asking, that's perfectly fine. Broader questions we'll want to save. Representative Pryor, you got a quick
sure.
clarifying question?
Probably I have a broader question for later
okay,
on.
Okay, we'll save.
But can I make a clarifying comment?
Well, if it's, I think if it's a comment, I think well, let's maybe if we can hold off and yeah, why don't you hope save
wanted,
that to the
I wanted
end
to
then.
Say thank you for the clarity of the presentation.
Oh, okay.
That's, that's,
I think thank probably you. Probably thank yous are appreciated.
I can read it without my reading glasses, so I really appreciate
oh, that's even literal the font size clarity. We appreciate that. Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what I'll move on to then is, in looking at the amount of noncompliance that we have seen in the last few years across state agencies, we wanted to think about what are the different factors that might be affecting state agencies' compliance. And so first we looked at some factors that had to do with state agency capacity. One of those factors was resources. And so one thing that we note is that the legislature does fund grants management activities inconsistently, both across state agencies and across grant programs. So to give you an example, for the DPS grants within our review, DPS was allowed to retain up to 2.5% of grant funding for management activities. On the other hand, for the NDE grant programs within our review, the majority of them did not have specific funding for administration attached to them. Now, we did complete a survey of grants management staff, of 40 separate grants management staff across 26 agencies. They were all part of the Grants Governance Committee. It's a committee that provides feedback to OGM. And within that survey, we found that this is not consistent across state agencies. The majority actually did note that they had sufficient resources or adequate resources to perform their duties. But there were also a significant number who said that they did not. And so I provide a quote here for you to give you an idea of some of the information that we received from some of those individuals. Another factor we looked at was training. And while the Office of Grants Management does provide some training, it is ad hoc. It's not on a regular basis. It's not on demand. And it's also not required. So grants managers are not required to take any of the training prior to taking on their responsibilities. I'll also note that within that survey we did, over a third of the respondents noted that OGM provided too little training on their grants policies. And then the last factor I'll talk about is agency grants management tools. So as you may be aware, grants managers, agencies are required to collect, review, retain a lot of documentation in the course of managing grants. And so having appropriate tools for doing that can be a helpful way of complying. And what we found, again, in our survey is that only about 40% of the respondents said that their agencies, or at least their divisions, were using electronic grants management systems. The rest of them were using a variety of other things. And so just to give you an example, MDE used a combination of email, online systems, electronic documents, and physical documents to manage the grants that we were reviewing. And in some cases, that use of physical documents actually was an impediment to being able to demonstrate some of the work that they had done. And then the last thing I'll talk a little bit about is just another factor affecting compliance, which is accountability. We believe external oversight is important to consider. Without having any accountability factors in place, state agencies may just have fewer incentives to comply. So in terms of enforcement, what we found was that statutes do provide little authority to any entity to force a state agency to correct if they are not in compliance. There are several organizations, such as the OLA or the Department of Administration, that has the authority to review compliance. We can report on it, but then there's really no entity that has the ability to make a state agency then correct themselves if they're not in compliance. And then the last thing I'll note is that because there are no other entities that have this type of authority, really it's the legislature who does. But unfortunately, we found that the legislature just doesn't have very good data or information available to them statewide on grants. So really the only data system for grants that has kind of all statewide grants in them is the state's accounting system, SWIFT, if you're familiar with that. And the information that's there is very limited. It also has no performance data in it. And so it's hard for, I think, state agencies and the legislature to get a handle on what's happening statewide or even agency-wide within an agency. So I'll go over briefly a couple of our recommendations for the legislature. The first one is, I think that we can agree that if a grant manager doesn't know what the requirements are, they can't meet them. So we think that there should be required training for them. We think that the legislature should direct OGM to develop a grants management training program, and that grants managers should be required to go through that program prior to taking on grants management duties. We also think that the legislature should direct OGM to develop standards for consistently funding grants management activities at state agencies. We believe inconsistent funding can lead to inconsistent results. And so working with OGM to think about some standards around that, we think would be a good idea. In addition, we think it's very important that the legislature increase external oversight of grants management at the state agencies. We provide some suggested options on pages 49 and 50 of the report. That includes, for example, setting up an external independent grants management unit, or kind of beefing up the functions at the OGM so that they can have a compliance piece as well as a technical assistance piece to their work. And then last, we believe the legislature should direct admin to develop recommendations for improving access to data on grants. Again, we offer some options, kind of all the way from improving some of the information that could be available in SWIFT, all the way to exploring options for having a statewide grants management system. Of course, those each have their pros and cons, so we offer some of those for your consideration. And that's the end of my formal report. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Thanks so much. I think what we're going to do is move on to the presentation, to the thoughts from the Department of Education, and then have plenty of time for discussion. Well, sir, I know that you're going to remain here. I assume that you will be, and counting on that to be able to answer questions. I should note, we're just hearing from the one agency, MDE, responses from the Department of Administration and Department of Public Safety. I think Department of Administration especially is the agency that has the OGM, Office of Grants Management, in it. They're in the back of the OLA report, so just direct the members' attention to those comments as well. There are some folks I know from Department of Administration here for questions as well. So, but thanks. So we'll have Commissioner Jett head up. If the commissioner can, and I believe the chief financial officer from MDE is up here as well. And as you make your way up. And so get yourselves settled in, and then Commissioner, once you are settled in, you can identify yourself and proceed, but okay. Yeah. So I think, Commissioner, you're going to be the one starting us off, I believe, perhaps. And so identify yourself. Welcome. And please proceed, Commissioner Jett.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, my name is Willie Jett. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Education. And I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to join you here today. I've had the honor to come before the committee several times now, and I want to reaffirm for all of you that in leading Minnesota's Department of Education, I'm committed to excellence, driving towards solutions, and building a culture of accountability. I began in this role on January 2nd, 2023, and one of the first meetings that I had was with the team that joins me here today to discuss the preliminary draft of this report. My first questions were, one, what have we already done to address the issues identified? And two, what more can we do to ensure that we do not make the same mistakes again? You're going to hear today about what MDE has done to address these issues, as well as our short-term and long-term next steps to ensure we fulfill our responsibility to Minnesota taxpayers. We are directly addressing the concerns raised in the OLA report and are focused on building a culture of high expectations and accountability at MDE. That is why, in addition to the changes you will hear about today related to grants management, I will continue to challenge our team to push further and take additional steps across the agency in line with my vision and commitment to excellence. With me here today to provide additional detail on the department's next steps in its oversight of grants management is MDE's Chief Financial Officer, Denise Anderson, as well as MDE's Director of Government Relations, Adosh Uni, and MDE's General Counsel, Eric Tobel. With that, I'm going to hand it over to CFO Denise Anderson.
Denise Anderson, there we go. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, and members. For the record, my name is Denise Anderson, and I serve as MDE's Chief Financial Officer. Thank you for the opportunity to respond to the OLA's program evaluation of state-funded grants to nonprofit organizations. MDE appreciates the time and effort that was put into the review of these programs, as well as the collaborative process which OLA engaged with MDE. As the Commissioner mentioned, MDE has already taken steps to address concerns raised in the report. In addition, you will hear about our short-term and long-term steps. We are focusing our action activities in three primary areas: policies and procedures, technology systems, and training. Next slide, please. Please note, I will use the acronym OGM frequently throughout my presentation, which references the Minnesota Department of Administration's Office of Grants Management. MDE has made the following changes to their policies and procedures to improve compliance with OGM policies and have implemented these process changes. In the area of financial reviews and reconciliation, MDE is now fully documenting all of our reviews, including the financial documents that have been reviewed. And we're ensuring that legislatively named grants are administered in the same manner as all grants. In addition, MDE has updated their payment approval processes to ensure that all reporting requirements are completed prior to issuing any payments. In addition, MDE has implemented one-on-one grant visits, monitoring visits, and is improving the documentation of the monitoring reviews that occur. MDE's intranet already includes the following information. Our grants management page that all staff have access to has information on the definitions of the different types of grants, some overview grant process information, links to the training, and additional contact information. In the area of training, MDE has implemented training for all persons responsible for managing grants. We have developed and implemented two grant manager training. The first one is an overview that anybody at the agency can take. The second is a deeper dive into some of the grant requirements. And in that case, all grant managers will be required to complete these trainings. So far, we've had 100 staff that have participated in this training. The next two slides will show the topics that are covered in these trainings. The purpose is just to show you that our trainings are addressing some of the issues that were identified in the report presented today. You'll see there's budget review, financial reports, program reports, closeout process, and legislatively named grants in our overview. And then in the deeper dive, we get into more specifics around the pre-award risk assessments, monitoring visits, progress reports, and again, the closeout evaluations. In addition to the activities that have already been implemented, MDE has additional planned actions. While OGM policies don't require agencies to develop agency-specific procedures, MDE is committed to ensuring that best practices are implemented. Therefore, we are developing a grant management manual that will include detailed procedures for grant management processes. We'll be creating a toolkit that includes templates, grant forms, sample reporting documents, checklists for grant managers to use to ensure that they're meeting all of the grant requirements. And our templates, such as the closeout template, will be updated to match our OGM policies to ensure we consider past performance when awarding subsequent awards. The goal of completion for updating this information is July of 2023. In addition, MDE will expand our intranet site, again, that all staff have access to include the newly developed policies, procedures, the manual, toolkit, and templates. We'll include links to the OGM policies and links to a centralized grant file, which I'll talk about next, or shortly. Next slide, please. All right. In December of 2021, MDE, in partnership with Minute at MDE, released an RFP to replace the current grants management and payment processing system. That contract was signed in the summer of 2022. In the fall, phase zero of the project took place. The objective of that phase was a proof of concept to enable the vendor to show how the system could successfully handle our workload. This proof of concept was successful, and we have now moved into phase one of the project, which will be implemented by the school year 2022-23. The new system will provide support of the grant management and payment processes by integrating data throughout all of the workflow processes. This will help MDE to make sure we meet all state and federal requirements. In addition to the grants management system, we've also started to develop a centralized electronic grant file. The scope of the OLA report was fiscal year 2020-2021, and at that time, as mentioned earlier, MDE still utilized a mostly paper process for our grants programs. Factors such as turnover in key positions contributed to the difficulty in locating documentation at times. Implementing a centralized electronic grant filing system will improve our documentation, allowing us to maintain copies of financial reconciliations, progress reports, reimbursement approvals, and the closeout reports. This filing system will support grants management process and enhance our oversight of the grant requirements. Legislative proposals have been introduced to enhance enterprise-wide grants oversight and enforcement. As mentioned earlier, the program evaluation highlights the need for an appropriate level of resources to support grant management, including internal oversight and monitoring. Agencies do not always receive funding for these purposes. For all grant activities, MDE requests up to 5% of the funding for grant administration and technical assistance. Legislation for legislatively named grants typically fails to provide funding for grant administration and oversight, making the management of these grants more difficult, even though the OGM policy requires that those grants be monitored just like all grants. The recently released governor's budget contains a four-pronged plan that will enhance statewide grant oversight and enforcement. While the Walz-Flanagan administration can implement some of the state agency's recommendations on its own, others will require new legislation. The governor's budget contains funding to expand and strengthen the enterprise grants management, enterprise grant management. The plan would expand the Office of Grants Management at the Department of Administration, ensuring the office has the resources it needs to provide policy leadership over all types of grants. The governor is also seeking additional agency capacity for administration and oversight. The governor's budget also funds enhanced resources for internal controls and oversight. The governor's budget proposes additional enterprise-wide auditing resources, which would be housed in the internal control team at the Minnesota Management and Budget. He's also proposing resources for a coordinated approach to criminal investigations to track and investigate allegations of fraud in state-administered grants. The third prong in the plan is to target additional resources at key agencies and programs. The plan would strengthen individual agencies' grant management programs and by adding staff at six agencies to enhance oversight and accountability. And finally, the governor's plan is seeking federal changes. MD Minnesota will request changes in federal practices to reduce the risk of fraud in federal programs. There are gaps in training, oversight, and federal standards that, if addressed, would reduce opportunities for fraud and misuse of funds.
Ms. Anderson, I know we've got just a couple slides left. We've got limited time, if it's possible, to go through them relatively quickly. And then folks can also ask questions, but yeah, please.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The recently released governor's budget funds two proposals to strengthen oversight and monitoring in the Minnesota Department of Education specifically. The first one is the Office of Inspector General. That office would conduct routine monitoring of MDE programs, would conduct in-depth investigations if needed, and would work with our state and local and federal partners across all agencies. The second proposal for MDE is for some additional audit and internal control resources. This funding would be used to expand school audit activities, increase our risk assessment and mitigation activities, and allow us to develop and implement an internal audit program. And finally, the governor's budget proposal contains funding for the Department of Administration Office of Grants Management, and in the respect for time, I won't read the slide to you, but the funding would be used for the items listed on the slide.
Thanks. Thank you so much. I think we're all done, and so turning things to Chair Joaquim for the next section.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. Thank you, MDE. As a reminder to the committee, this report from the OLA only looks at state-funded grants and not the ones that are federally funded, so that's what we're going to focus on today. I'll ask members to keep their questions close to that. If members veer too far off topic, I may do a quick course correction to bring us back. We also have a joint hearing today, so we want to make sure that we're giving a lot of members time to talk. I've asked for us to extend our time to 12:15. But once you've asked a question and had a follow-up, please be respectful for your own members that we might be moving on to somebody else. I think with that, what we'll do is I'm going to bring the OLA back up to ask some for folks to ask questions of the OLA, and then but do not stray far because I'm sure there'll be questions for you. Our CLA is just taking notes of everybody that's raising their hands, so we'll have that here. And maybe I will kick it off as the OLA comes up. I have just a quick question on methodology. First, I want to thank the OLA for doing this report. We as the legislature turn to you to have you look into things just like this through our OLA commission process. And I know the OLA commission is thinking of having, is going to be having a hearing once they get organized on this exact report as well. So I just want to thank you for that. But my question actually is on methodology because it's the methodology is really spelled out in the report, and I'm used to looking at data with the methodology in front of us too. So just wondering how, I know through the commission they requested you to look at MDE and DPS, but how did you pick the specific programs to look at? Who did you talk to? And I'm curious that you didn't do a broader range of years besides just two COVID years where things might not look the same as the 2 years prior. So if you can just quick answer that methodology question, and then we'll move on to member questions.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Joaquim. The way that we chose the programs within MDE was first by looking at the data. So we pulled all of the data for the grant programs from MDE, and we looked at which of their divisions was spending the most. And so we focused on the two divisions where the most grant funding was going out. Then within those two divisions, we requested from NDE lists of the grants, the grant programs, I'm sorry, that they manage within those. Unfortunately, as I noted, SWIFT's data is limited. It doesn't necessarily allow you to identify grant programs within it. So by looking at those, we wanted at least one competitive and one legislatively named grant within our review. So we drilled down into that information and took the largest of both of those. And as for the years, the reason we focused on 2020 and 2021 was we wanted the most recent years so that the practices were most likely the most recent practices, but we also wanted years in which the grant period had ended so that we could look at the full range of grant management activities.
Thank you. Members, I think if you have questions straight for the OLA, this would be the time. I have Representative Pryor on the list.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So what I would like to understand better is, I mean, when we're talking about these grants, these are actually, it's kind of like they're not MDE's grants, they're legislative grants. So essentially it's us that has ownership of them. Then we send them to MDE for management of them to put them out, to get them filled. One that I'm curious about is if it is a named grant, and it turns out if that grantee is not in compliance, what's MDE supposed to do? Pull the money when we've said give it to this group? And this is, you know, I won't say the name of the organization, but definitely there is discussions about named grants, organizations that have no track record. Their RIS will show that they're just a couple of years old. They've never managed that kind of money before. And yet the legislature names them, almost setting it out something that they cannot possibly be in compliance for, these good management. And so then, you know, is there a recommendation for what should happen in a situation like that?
Go ahead, Ms. Rodriguez or Ms. Randall.
Two things I'll note. Thank you, Chair Joachim and Representative. Two things I'll note there is that there are still the legislatively named grantees are still responsible, one, for complying with what is in their contract. So they have to sign a grant contract, and they have to comply with the terms of that contract. Two, within OGM policies, there is no exception for legislatively named grantees. So if those grantees are not, for example, turning in their progress reports, the state agency still has the ability and the responsibility to withhold payments until they do so. And I'll let Ms. Randall provide some more information.
Sir, Representative Pryor, follow-up?
No, thank you.
Okay, I have Representative Zelnicker. I have all my members memorized, but not everybody yet.
Thank you, and thank you for the financial report. I am at a loss of words, and that doesn't come easy, but a couple that stick to mind is pervasive noncompliance. Having been a business owner and having seen long-term care settings and assisted livings get fined millions of dollars for noncompliance, for care plans at state mandated guidelines for COVID. It seems shocking to me that we are delivering grant money in a non-compliant way with zero accountability. The nursing homes and assisted livings have had zero choices because we were mandated, and then now they've been fined like $3 million and we have no staff in the settings, but there is a requirement for fines and a plan. So my point is, there appears to be no equity here. Money is money. It doesn't matter where it's going in programs. So it's disturbing to me that we have COVID money that came in this last 2 years, and we also now have surplus money. So the obvious thing, having looked at financial reports for years to me, and to your point, is the state has a grant process. It has the ability to withhold payment. If there's obviously data that says 0% in compliance for legislative name, we shouldn't be giving out the money. It stops. It stops immediately. The second thing that seems obvious to me, and maybe common sense just isn't common anymore, but to the taxpayers and the people listening, it is common. So I speak for them. And those who receive grants that are out of compliance by these reports, you know, there should be a fine. It's obvious. It's money's been given. It's a clawback. The money comes back to the state of Minnesota, and they're not on the register. They're not eligible. Secondly, it's obvious to me that there's a flawed system if there's no on-site monitoring when you've identified a problem. They come on-site to inspect nursing homes in Ely and in Thief River Falls and in Waconia and everywhere else. So why would we be doing the same thing with grant money? Money is money. There's not a money tree. So to me, we need to have on-site when there's not compliance. These grants, I mean, it makes me wonder why we're not doing some of these grants to local school districts for local accountability. If we have a need, why does the state have their hand in this when it's not doing it well? My other part is you know, a lot of these measurements of the program on what we're going to do to fix it, it's not going to be till 2023, July and whatever other dates. In business world, and in we stop the program. We don't allocate more money until we fix the problem. We aren't taking admissions in nursing homes and assisted livings because we have no staff. So therefore, people are waiting in hospitals. If the money's not following where it's supposed to go, you stop the money, period. You don't give out more money. This is like basic 101. And so I appreciate the report today. I, as an elected official, might be my first term, but I don't need to have 20 years of a rodeo to see that this makes zero sense. And we have a responsibility to have accuracy and accountability, for sure, in our government. And I'm all for programs when it goes the right way, but we have pervasive noncompliance. Regardless of political party, we have a responsibility to fix it before we issue any more grants. That's the least we can do for the people of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Zelenska-Carr. So sorry about that. You and I share a lot of vowels in our names. Just as a reminder, we have experts here to ask questions, too. So try to, I understand people want to make statements, and I'm fine with that, but I want to get questions out of the way first while we have time, and to please limit your questions to brevity. I actually, Chair Pinto had a quick one. I want to give chair prerogative to Chair Pinto.
Just asking, I was a little bit confused by your response to the prior question. So if we pass a law directing an agency to give money to an organization, how does an agency policy trump our law that we've passed? If you could I guess that's one question.
Ms. Randall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Pinto, thank you for that question. It doesn't. You're right. Law trumps an agency's policy. But an agency can certainly report back to you, right, that the grantee hasn't been complying. The agency can temporarily withhold money and work with the grantee to make sure the progress report has been, you know, submitted, that the work that's intended has been done. So there's other steps that can happen along the way. I will note that we issued a report related to grants to nonprofit organizations in 2007. And at that point, so quite a long 15, 16 years ago, we raised concerns about legislatively named grantees at that time too. We made a recommendation that the legislature not do them. It's just a recommendation and you all continue to do them and that's your prerogative and we understand the desire to do it. But we do think they pose a lot of risk. And it's exactly that tension. You know, we hear from state agencies all the time, what are we supposed to do? They're in law getting that money. How can we stop them? How can we not give them the money? And so there is that tension, and it makes it hard to enforce and ensure that the money's being spent the right way when the money is guaranteed in law.
Just quickly, Madam. Yeah, of the $4 million in payments to grantees with past two or absent progress reports, what portion of that is legislatively named grantees versus others?
Ms. Randall, I believe he's talking to the MDE one or to both?
To the MDE, the MDE. Yeah, thank you.
Ms. Rodriguez.
Chair Pinto, I am not sure of the exact number, but I can certainly get that for you.
Okay, and then, Madam Chair, then one more final thing. I'm so sorry. I really am, Chair, I just have to do this. Ms. Randall, I appreciate your work, but I have to just say your answer to my question, I feel like was in conflict to your prior answer, because you said to your previous answer, maybe to your prior, I'm not sure if it was Representative Pryor, but because you said, you know, if it's in violation of the policy, the agency shouldn't pay. But then I heard you to say the law trumps the policy, and I just have real concerns that if we say to do it, the agency has to do it. So I just was concerned that there may have been a misimpression created there in what you said.
Ms. Randall, briefly, and then
yes,
I want to move to other members.
Briefly, thank you, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair. Eventually, they would have to pay. But there's work that can happen along the way to get that grantee in compliance, and that would be the hope.
Thank you. I have Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I do have a question, and I think I'm going to ask it, but I'll take it offline afterwards. Just wondering if you analyzed the operating structure between DPS and MDE. I know MDE has listed back in 2022 12 grant specialists. I'd like to see that compared to DPS, but I'm going to ask you afterwards because I know time's of essence. And I just do want to make one comment that I think accountability is huge. and the comments made earlier that we hold so many of our other, you know, like nursing homes, hospitals, schools, even whatever, accountable, and we fine them greatly. We need to make sure we take care of this and have accountability here too. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Representative Bennett, and maybe we can make sure MDA gets you that answer as well. Representative Hemmingson-Yeager.
Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. What are the national best practices or recommendations for the number of staff or the types of tracking systems for grants accountability, and how does that compare with the agencies that you examined?
Sorry, Ms. Rodriguez.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. We didn't encounter a magic number in terms of staff. Basically, what we found in terms of recommended practices is that there be sufficient staff to complete the required oversight activities. In terms of grants management systems, again, we didn't see any specific system that was recommended, but there were several organizations that recommended electronic grants management systems simply for keeping all of the information in one place. We also, I'll note, in terms of looking at the comprehensiveness of Minnesota's policies, we did look at several other states' practices and policies, and we found that only about a half a dozen states we were able to identify have statewide grants management policies, or I'm sorry, statewide grants management systems. So it's fairly uncommon right now.
Thank you. Representative Altendorf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for your presentation today. And you have a tough job. I literally am listening to you and, you know, hearing these numbers. And I am picturing you are in charge of the candy store. The children are inside and there's no rules. And they're hyped up on sugar. And this is really alarming. You know, I just repeating a little bit what Representative Zalesnikar said, but the amount of money, the grants that are going especially towards our MDE program, and then to literally see in writing, partially complied, you know, partially complied. So my question to you is, when it says, there was no monitoring of visits for most grants. That's a bullet point on your sheet. And what is the consequences to that? Is there literally no consequences that they were not monitoring these grants?
Ms. Rodriguez.
Chair Joachim, Representative, no, currently in statutes there are no consequences that organizations other than the legislature can place on state agencies for noncompliance.
Representative Altendorf, did you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for that honest answer. And I think this is just an eye-opening experience to everyone in this room. We are here to represent Minnesota. We are here to represent the voters, the taxpayers of the state. And right now, we cannot look any one of those people in the eye and say that we have a process, that we are granting out this money, that it is being watched, and that we are really protecting our tax dollars. With a $17.6 billion surplus, this is just disappointing. It's rot for fraud. And we as the state legislature, and I really hope we can do this together, we need to implement practices to make sure that this ends in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Altendorf, and I do appreciate the OLA and their work and their recommendations that we actually have to fund those resources too. So Representative Hicks.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for being here today. I do have a specific question around the pre-grant component that you spoke of. We've heard a lot about legislatively directed grants. It's been made clear that you have recommended they not happen, but they do. So since those are happening, how would an agency do a pre-report on financial stability and then deny a grant that was legislatively indicated and in law? Those things seem very contradictory to me.
Ms. Rodriguez?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Joachim and Representative. I would say the purpose of the pre-award financial review is not necessarily to deny a grant, but it is an opportunity for the state agency to identify any areas in which a grantee may be lacking or they may not be fully developed. So while in the sense of a legislatively named grant, they may not be able to withhold the funding, what they can do is offer technical assistance. They can provide increased monitoring. So there are other tools kind of in their toolbox that they can use by being aware of any issues that might arise.
Thank you. One quick follow-up, Representative.
So I want to make sure I'm understanding. So the legislature appoints a directive grant. The state agency is supposed to do a pre-review, identify where TA may potentially be occurring, then issue the grant, follow up with all of the monitoring as is dictated and written. But according to your report, they're to do that with no administrative funding into those grants to do so. Right?
Ms. Randall, you had a comment, or Ms. Rodriguez?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. We're not recommending no administrative funding to help them with that.
Currently, there isn't. Oh. Right.
Representative Hicks, we're going to go through the chair. Ms. Randall?
Madam Chair and Representative Hicks, it depends on the grant, and I think that's our main point, is that grant administration is funded inconsistently across grant programs, and so we really think there needs to be consistent funding and then consistent expectation on state agencies.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My questions are maybe more for the department. So you want me to?
Yes. Would somebody from the department come up then? Thank you, Ms. Randall. Thank you, Ms. Rodriguez. There still be many more. We have about 10 more minutes. So
Madam Chair, as they're transitioning, just if I can kind of set up my question, it's my understanding that the base budget for MDE is about $23 million. There's about 477 employees at the department. And my first question, so just have two parts. Does the department have a process for reviewing staffing levels on a yearly basis?
Whoever would like to answer that.
Are you talking specifically related to grants management or for the department as a whole?
Representative Baker, we're talking about grants management today.
Yeah, grants management, and I would like to know in the future if there is a process reviewing staffing levels as a whole. And the reason I ask is because school districts across Minnesota are doing that right now. So we have to review our budget on an annual basis in order to refine our staffing levels. So I'm just wondering if the agency that oversees us goes through that similar process.
So grants management, maybe speak to that. As the chair, as the Education Finance Committee, we can get into the MDE's overall budget later under our purview, but to the grants management portion.
Thank you, Chair and members. I have to take a step back to talk about the agency's process in order to get to the grants management piece of it. But on an annual basis, MDE does have, the legislature appropriates a biennial budget. And on an annual basis, MDE does what we call a spending plan process, which is a review of our budgets. And we set up the spending and the staffing for the upcoming fiscal year. So we'll actually be starting that process in the next couple months as well. Similar to what the school districts go through, we're setting up those budgets and FTEs based on our funding and existing law, and then as the legislature ends, then we'll revisit that again before they get fully implemented July 1st. So as a part of that, we review prior agency priorities and the staffing that go along with that.
Representative Bakeberg, I know you have a follow-up, but Representative Anderson has to leave, and I want to give her a chance to ask her question, and then I'll go back to you.
Yeah. I just have one comment quick.
Okay, Representative Bakeberg.
You know, it quoted basically that someone from the agency said that they didn't have the staffing level, so that's why they weren't able to do this. What this looks like to me is an unfunded mandate from us at the legislature to the department. And I would just say school districts can't say, we're not going to do that. So I would expect if we as a legislature decide to do something, the agency follows through, just like school districts have to follow through on the unfunded mandates from the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Baker. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't have a question. I just want to say I serve on the Legislative Audit Commission also, and I think most people know my background. I would like, if there is a bipartisan joint group that wants to work on this issue going forward, rather than to beat the bad things that have been happening in the past. But I think there were some recommendations, obviously, in the governor's budget, but I don't think that at all goes far enough. And I would like to offer that and just let my colleagues know that maybe we need to do that as a working group within this legislature.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. You. I think definitely take that up with the two bipartisan chairs of the OLA Commission, because I think that's where that that should be homed in that.
Yep. Thank you.
So I have Representative Edelson. Oh, sorry, Representative Baker, were you done? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, Representative Edelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, Ms. Randall, would you?
We're just playing musical chairs.
I know.
Today,
I apologize. So. Sorry, Commissioner John.
I believe actually Representative Edelson is the last one on the list, and then okay. We can wrap up with closing comments. So
thank you. This works.
Madam
Speaker, Ms. Rendell, you had highlighted that you had brought this up, you obviously weren't here at that point, maybe in that capacity that you are now. And I thank you for your work. I mean, this is why we have the Office of Legislative Auditor, is to look at these things. I guess you had mentioned at some point in your testimony all the things you've said that 15 or 16 years ago that you had flagged that these grants were an issue. And I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit more about what happens then. So if this is 15 years ago, we're looking at 2008, Tim Pawlenty was in office, right? And there's just been, I just want to kind of bring us back to the fact that this isn't a new thing for the legislature. And so, and we as lawmakers too that sit around these tables need to also realize the problems that we create when we earmark funds for organizations, and so really doing that vetting on our own. But I would love you to talk a little bit more about 15 or 16 years ago when this was brought up and what happened then.
Ms. Randall, briefly go back into your time machine. And sure. Then, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Edelson. I was the manager of that evaluation 15 or 16 years ago. I know you can hardly believe it, but, you know, I was. And at that time, the state did not have an Office of Grants Management. And so one of the things we recommended in that evaluation, because we found similar problems, we found a lack of consistent policies across state agencies. We found concerns around the legislatively named grantees because they were not receiving the same, they were not really receiving any oversight. And so we made a number of recommendations. Most importantly was to have a consistent set of grants management policies and to establish an Office of Grants Management. And so the legislature did, which was great. And so the legislature directed the Department of Administration to create an office, to create standard set of grants management policies. The department created OGM, and it staffed it with one person. And so, you know, it was a big step forward, but I think there's also a lot more that could be done, because if you can imagine one person for the Office of Grants Management to handle or, you know, help the whole state manage grants, it's a big lift.
Representative Edelson, quick follow-up before I go to Chair Pinto.
Yeah, you know, Madam Chair, actually, I'm good, thank you. I just wanted to, I think it's just important that we actually look at the history of what's been going on and that this is continuation, and I just thank you for your work.
Thank you. Chair Pinto. Oh, I will. Yes, sorry. It's been a long day already. So I just want to thank folks for coming in and being part of this today and for the good questions. I want to thank the OLA for doing the report. I want to thank MDE for being here today. We clearly have some work to do to make sure that not only there's compliance, but that our agencies actually have the money and the staffing to do the compliance. As Representative Bakeberg said, schools do not like unfunded mandates any more than agencies do as well. And we are working on the unfunded mandates in our schools diligently in our Education Finance Committee. We should also be making sure the agencies have the money to do what they need to do for our taxpayers as well. So, Chair Pinto.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap us up for the members who are left. We've got at least a few of us here. I think I may be one of the only people at the table, I'm guessing, who actually received a legislatively named grant. Not me individually, but the organization I worked for grant relating to the addressing sex trafficking of Ramsey County Attorney's Office, where I work. I was a direct legislative named grant. I completed the progress reports. It was through DPS, another agency. Every time I did the progress report, I thought, I don't know what they're going to do if I don't do the progress report, because we still get the money, but I just felt I needed to meet that standard. It is really important to me, to our OLA team, if you can get back to us about how much of this, the dollar amounts you've identified, are legislatively named versus not. Because I will say that feels like, so just to set this up for members, the OLA told us a long time ago, don't do legislatively named grants. We kept not doing legislatively named grants. And I think we want to be careful in our language and to Auditor Randall, you know, the agencies can maybe slow things down, they can report back, et cetera, but fundamentally, we have passed a law telling the agency to do a certain thing, and it is understandable if the agency's response is to say, we're real limited, our administrative staff, you told us to do this, and we're going to get the money out the way we've been told to do it. So I understand there's some paperwork concerns with that, but I do think we need to be really careful about mixing and matching things, of thinking there's some, you know, major scandal going on here when it seems like a significant part of this is legislatively named grantees who, sure, should be completing certain paperwork, and they're not, and the agency is still giving the money as we directed them to do. So we need to tighten things up in that way, but I want to think we need to be really careful about not mixing and matching things that don't actually belong together. And with that, this has been really helpful information. I know we're going to be using it. Well, actually, I don't know we are, but we sure should. Based on past behavior, and so we're going to be working on it. And so much, thank you so much to everybody. And with that, this joint meeting is adjourned.